Now, an hour of clarity for exhausted people of our nation mired in toxic partisanship. Left versus right. Us versus them. While we pay to keep our politicians fighting, how do we, the people, rise up and solve the great challenges of our time? We do it by embracing freedom and liberty. There may be no such thing as a free lunch, but this hour is as close as it gets. Welcome to A Free Solution.
All right, guys, once again, it's Tim O'Connor, the Freedom Variant, your host for today. Normally, I get the conspiracy theorist chair, but yet again, I have the great honor to bring on a fellow conspiracy theorist who I'm probably going to have to reel in. Guys, you who have listened to this show, who have watched the show, you guys out there in YouTube land and Twitter land know that Kevin, you know, like, he reels me in every once in a while. I get out there. So as weird as this is going to be, Sean, I am going to be the guy reeling you in probably.
No, look, no breaks, Mr. O'Connor. We have no breaks. Here we go.
All right, so
let's go full Bobby Kennedy. You ready?
We hang on. I want to introduce you guys. You know, like, all right, this is Sean Hannon. He is the host of Sports Clicks and Politics, a podcast that goes out on Rumble, he sends out invites on
we're banned on YouTube.
That's a good sign.
Well, banned is probably strong. We've had so many episodes removed that we no longer posted on there because why bother? They're still removing them from like 4 years ago. Like, what the hell happened here? But yeah, go ahead. Sorry. My intro.
Yeah. So you're now the current vice chair of the Onondaga
Libertarian Party? I'm nothing. I'm unaffiliated. Unaffiliated, but I am no official capacity within the party.
All right. So you're just
I'm just a loudmouth bartender.
Perfect. Well, yeah, which is actually that's my history, bro. Like I was
I know. I'm sure you served me back at Tucker's.
Yeah, Tucker's and Rosie O'Grady's. It was a good time. I loved Syracuse, man. I miss it. It was a great town. So look, you and I are going to delve into some pop culture tonight, right?
P. Diddy.
Well, P. Diddy. The latest Jeffrey Epstein scandal is breaking, and his name is P. All Diddy, I know is- right?
I'm so uncultured in that regard. Well, unhip, I guess, is probably a better so like all the players in that story are all new to me. So it's hard for me to connect the dots as easy as the politics, the Epstein version. So like I, you know, have to call lifelines in the hip hop days of the 90s because I really don't know who P. Diddy is. You know, I know the names, but I don't really.
Right.
When they're talking about, oh, this guy and this girl and this one, I'm like, I just don't know him. So. But it is salacious and juicy for sure.
Yeah. And
look, a lot of parallels, as you point out, to the Epstein stuff where there's a seemingly a multi-level marketing aspect to the whole operation where you're kind of like, hey, if you're pretty good at this and maybe you get good at that and then we kind of work it back and I'll get all this or whatever. Yeah. But yeah.
I've never heard it described as multi-level marketing before.
That's what you brought me on here for, right?
That's a fantastic euphemism for what it looks like is going on, brother. Like, it is wild. Yeah, so P. Diddy's pretty interesting story, but like you, I'm not, like, hip to the hop, let's say, right? No. Like, I'm not down with
that. Yeah, like, no.
But
Snoop Dogg and me go way back, I guess, because of the weed, but.
Yeah, I mean, I was Beastie Boys, Run DMC.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
You know, heavy metal cult of personality kind of guy. Like, they did a little bit of rapping, too. You know,
yeah, my hip-hop days ended with, like, KRS-One and Boogie Down Productions and EPMD. And so I didn't really get into the Tupac, Biggie, any of that. I was already out. I'd already checked out by then.
So, yeah.
My breakdancing days were over.
Good. Thank God for that, you know? Like, thank God for that.
I never tore a rotator cuff breakdancing, and I was doing all kind of dumb stuff, so.
Perfect. So, look, one of the big news-making events of the last week, Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson had a sit-down, and like, they kind of just, they kind of went wild, right? They went literally
Wouldn't you like to know what they were talking about before they actually was hit record button? Because, you know, I mean, well, you know, it's all recorded, but, you know, because they almost never, like, Joe Rogan's never just like, man, welcome to the show. We have, like, they're already in a conversation, and then they just decide where to start it, right? So, like, I would always really like to know what's going on before that stuff, because there's probably some really good stuff there.
Could you imagine? Like,
because what was on the show was great. Like, what can you imagine what was going on before?
What are the shows stuck out, like, the most to you? There were several impactful kind of statements, and
I mean,
just like, I was blown away by some of it. I was just like, One road I want to travel down is that when we look at what goes on in modern politics, right, and we see that our representatives aren't actually representing us, they're representing this system, this state, this basically right now it looks like they're representing a war machine. They're representing Keynesian economics, growing the economy through funding wars overseas kind of stuff. And there seems to be a populist sentiment against it. And yet here we are sending $60 billion to Ukraine, $20 billion to Israel, or $30 billion to Israel, and funding a lot of other military operations. What I felt like they kind of covered one of the possible scenarios as to why that happens. What do you think?
And sure. And, you know, when during that episode, he was talking about, you know, asserting that if that's the scenario, and I think I tend to agree with what you laid out there, like we don't ever live in a democracy if, as I think he said something like, if 70% of the people don't want something, but we get it anyway. So, I mean, listen, we don't live in a representative government. So
I don't know what's going on. Like Kevin and I often debate whether it's malice or incompetence. And I come down on the side that it looks like malice, that they're filling their campaign coffers, that they're selling things for the military industrial complex. But Tucker dropped a bombshell, right? A guy that would allegedly or purportedly be more in the know than perhaps Sean Hannon and Tim O'Connor, but he dropped a bombshell.
What are you trying to say?
Well,
we're not read into things.
We're not read into things, but that Tucker may be read into things, right?
Well, I mean, he definitely has some sources that he claims to be well-connected, I guess, and maybe still on the inside. So, yes, yeah. His sources are better than mine. I mean,
arguably better than mine, but I get some interesting sources, especially on local stuff. But what Tucker said, and it's something that we've heard put out there that the deep state, Chuck Schumer himself, warned Donald Trump about the deep state taking him out. Like this is Tucker kind of laid it out there. Like he said, these guys are compromised. They're afraid of the deep state. They're absolutely terrified of the possibility that they're going to wake up one day.
Well, think of the fights Tucker's picking here. So, right. So we already know during his show, he's been very outwardly talking about the JFK stuff.
Sure.
Basically asserting that the CIA did it. Right. And yeah. So, and we'll get into the part where he mentioned, he mentioned Nixon right there as well. And, you know, cites the five intelligence agencies and one quote unquote patsy who broke into the Watergate guy kind of reminds me of a Michigan governor kidnapping a little bit there where, you know what, maybe looking at the whole Nixon as a orchestrated takedown is not so crazy anymore in light of what happened with the previous president here in our situation, which looks like he was spied on while he was running for office. So I
don't
think a lot of people think that the country was lost back in 1963, and it might be a hard to argue.
It would be hard to argue on an absolute level that the government isn't in business to serve itself. Like that would be that politicians are filling their campaign coffers by doing things and manufacturing. Let's call it manufacturing consent. That's a popular term libertarians like to use. That's a popular term that liberals like to use. When you get out there and you say, hey, what we need to do is fund wars overseas, and then you manufacture the consent for that. You convince the people that your constituents that this is a good idea. That to me is where we're at, right? And it could have been 63. It could have been before that.
That's just an obvious tell. Is 63,
right?
And now, like I said, when you couple that with Nixon, which happened, you know, a small handful of years later, where you know, it's. Tucker reminds you of things of like where, oh, yeah, I forgot that Spiro Agnew got ran out on tax evasion charges and then they got to put in their own guy, Gerald Ford. And then, oh, look, they got to take him out. And, oh, look, all of a sudden our guy's in charge. Weird how that happens. I'm just saying. So you pile these things on top of each other and you're like, OK, well, what's the keep it simple, stupid argument here? It's like, OK, well, clearly it looks like the intelligence agencies have overtaken the government. Nobody is willing to push back against them, as you point out with Chuck Schumer, and you know, maybe Donald Trump is experiencing those ramifications as we speak, even though I have plenty of critique for that guy these days. But the idea that our politicians are controlled by something other than constituents, you know, what you know, input and feedback is clearly evident.
It is clearly evident. The fact remains, too, that they can even just play the odds, right? Like, there's something like a 20% or less approval rating of our House of Representatives and our people in the Senate, right?
I want to meet the 20%.
I know, right? But they still, Sean, get reelected at something like a 92% rate. Like, so they can play the odds there. There's because always
the local guy goes and shakes their hand, or she goes out and shakes their hand, and they get like, oh, well, it's not my person. It's not my Congress critter. Right. It's all the other ones.
And the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. And generally, if you're in a left-leaning blue area, you don't want to take a look at the Republican challenger. And if you live in a right-leaning red area, you're not going to take a look at the blue challenger. And
look, then program not to take a look.
It's amazing.
They're evil.
The lesser of two evils, but they're still evil.
But the other side, all they tend, there is some, but I'm going to paint with a broad brush here, but
sure,
the majority of political leanings are, I don't want to be labeled the other thing. It's not, correct, I'm like so pro this or that. It's like, oh no, I can't be a libtard or a Trumptard. I got to be a whatever. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, anything that even comes close to that, you have to run away with and be like, I can't be associated with that. So you got to kind of make it known that you're not the opposite side. And it's not necessarily, again, that you're for anything. And I'm not saying that you're not for anything. These people are for things, but the more pressure comes from not being labeled the other side, I guess.
Yeah. Look, I think to point at something specific that I think Joe and Tucker were talking about, right? And
aliens?
Well, no, hang on. We can do the aliens. Don't worry about that. We'll get there. But like, they were talking about how when it came down to the vote, Thomas Massie pointed this out, the Speaker of the House is not obligated to vote, right? So Mike Johnson, the guy, MAGA Mike Johnson didn't even have to vote. And then did in fact vote to make sure that the FISA 702, the warrantless spying program that was used to flip Carter Page, and like, because he was associated with Trump, allowed the government to spy on Trump. This isn't even a debate anymore. Like, he was spied on by the Barack Obama administration. This isn't like a joke. This is how they did it, right? Yeah. This is what they did.
Yeah, and if we set the premise up, and obviously, as you know, maybe I'm spoiling the conclusion here, he ended up voting and being the deciding vote to make sure that it didn't pass. And this guy had been all along anti-FISA, right? Like, his whole history in Congress had been, hey, we're not doing this. We shouldn't be doing this. Hey, we shouldn't do this, until the exact moment where you need to actually have a spine. He turns into a jellyfish and just casts the vote and then sells us all out. And then it gets worse.
It just keeps getting worse. And look, he made some subsequent statements that we all know are malarkey, right? He said, look, yeah, we know there's problems with the FISA 702. We know that this has been used to spy on American citizens, but we can fix those problems. And then Eyepatch McCain, that guy from Texas, Dan Crenshaw, right? He comes out and is like, this is the only way to stop the fentanyl from being imported into our country. This is the only way we can monitor those cartels.
He's not a serious person, that dude. But go ahead. Sorry.
He's a serious stock trader, bro. He's very successful.
Aren't they
he's
all?
Like, wildly wild. Well, he's like number two to Nancy Pelosi. You know, like, it's just weird. Wild what's going on with this stuff.
Weird. The naturals. I mean, it's like a nexus of stock. It's like they just get charts fed to them. You know, they're just all experts at reading charts. No one to buy and sell.
That's what it is. It has nothing to do with legislation in front of their committees that they're privy to, that they can trade stocks in.
Stop,
Mr.
O'Connor.
It's completely legal. If, like, do you remember when Martha Stewart went to jail? Our representatives are doing the same things she did every single day making decisions on picking stocks, and they put her in jail for it. Like, I don't even know why.
You're being nice.
I know.
Because they do way worse than what she did.
I'm just trading. I'm just trading in the readily observable facts that I can't get in trouble for.
So no, it's all mess.
You know, yeah, my beliefs are deeper than that. I do want to take Tucker to task, though, Sean. I hope you don't mind. Well,
let me see if I can stand for Tucker.
Well, at some point, he made some sort of comment like that Richard Nixon was some sort of one of the greatest presidents, and that's why they had to take
him out. I don't think he said he was the greatest president. He said he was the most popular president. I mean, listen, he extrapolated that out by saying that he had the most votes ever recorded in a presidential race, right? So he was the most popular president. But all the other stuff, as we pointed out, I kind of echoed some of those sentiments already here, speak for themselves, right? Like whether or not, you know, Richard Nixon was a stand-up guy, I don't think so, but like...
I mean, I'm just saying he started the EPA.
He was clearly taken out.
He started the EPA. He started the war on drugs.
Oh, no, he's not somebody I would have voted for, but and neither was Trump, but they took him out.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
That part I'm not arguing with. I'm actually just trying to pick a fight with Tucker.
I guess you'd rather be you'd rather be Trump and Nixon than JFK if you're going to get taken out.
Fair enough. Brother, that is a good point, man. Really, that is a solid.
That's how you get funding for Ukraine.
$60 billion, man. Yeah. They put on a show. They put on a show.
Trump okayed all that.
He's all. Yeah. Well, there you go, guys. Yeah. So that's one of the things where libertarians kind of divest themselves from everyone else. It's like, yeah, like your guy sucks. And Trump sucked too. Like, he did a lot of bad things. He's still doing a lot of weird things. He's like, hey, yeah, the FBI used, you know, their influence to spy on me and they're out to get me. But you know what I'm going to do? Build him a brand new, big, huge, beautiful Trump style building. And it's like, what kind of campaign nonsense is that? You got a libertarian going, you know what we should do? Shut down the CIA, shut down the FBI. Even Vivek Ramaswamy, who was actually very appealing to me, was like, we are cutting these agencies in half. We're getting rid of some of them. And that is the bottom line. Like, that was appealing. That was an appealing kind of deal.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I just want to drive home the point that Trump met with Mike Johnson on Friday before they voted, talked about who knows what. I mean, do you think they discussed this Ukraine foreign aid package? Of course they did. Sure. And then they go and vote on Saturday. Mike Johnson comes out and says that Trump was instrumental in helping him pass this, orchestrated the loan part of the nonsense of this fake loan aspect of the bill. And then
I love that. Yeah.
And then after the vote, Lindsey Graham comes out and thanks Trump again for like, it wouldn't have had, he says something like it wouldn't have happened without Trump's help. And then all of Trump media goes crickets.
He whipped.
I forgot that I had crickets on the mic.
Perfect, man. No, Trump.
I'm glad I hit the right button because they're not labeled.
Yeah, that was a good test. you did rather well there. So Trump whipped support for the Ukraine bill.
Yeah,
and here we are. You know.
Yeah. Bipartisanship, the glorious bipartisanship that we all want to love and adore. But yeah,
they bipartisan
knocking us out again.
They bipartisanship us so freaking hard. It's amazing.
Yeah, it feels great.
Yeah. So that was my big, big complaint. Now, the other thing they got into was like UFOs.
Yeah, they started with UFOs, but actually I thought the gist of their conversation was more of not a debate. Like none of this stuff was really a debate. It's kind of just a back and forth conversation or whatever, but they were talking about how to describe UFOs, right? Or entities that would be coming from UFOs. Are they spiritual beings, supernatural, aliens, extraterrestrial, interdimensional, or is this just high end tech, you know, stuff from that we're just not aware of yet from the, you know, from governments or wherever. So,
Look, hang on. I piqued everybody's interest. We're coming up on a pretty hard break, Sean. So we're going to come back and talk a little bit about UFOs. And then I'm going to hit you with some new stuff that I've been kind of checking out. So I want to thank the WYSL audience. I want to thank my buddy Sean Hannon for joining me. Guys, this is a great show. We are going to be right back.
Introducing a sobering and unavoidable truth. The latest advancements in artificial intelligence have made cyber attacks easier than ever before. Cyber criminals are relentlessly targeting your business right now, seeking the tiniest opening in your defenses to drain your accounts and steal sensitive data. Your finances and your customers' trust are on the line. Call the experts at Simple Tech Innovations now at 585-999-TECH to secure your business today. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the call today. 585-999-TECH.
To live the quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law, that in 2020 there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties, that there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted. These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
Hey, this is Kevin Wilson, host of A Free Solution. You ever need a tool for just one project, but didn't want to spend the cash for something you'd use just once or twice? Well, there's a new tool library in Rochester where you can borrow just the thing you need instead of buying a new one. It's called the Tool Shed from the Southeast Area Coalition, and membership starts at just $25 a year. Use it for home projects or to support your business. Learn more and become a member at seektoolshed.org. That's S-E-A-C, toolshed.org.
A Free Solution on the WYSL stations.
All right, welcome back to A Free Solution. Once again, I am your host for the day, Tim O'Connor, the Freedom Variant. Joined, I got another real conspiracy theorist. But guys, like, look, we use this, we talk about conspiracy theorists. We're talking about real conspiracies that are making the news that 2 years ago, a year ago, people would have thought you were crazy. So thanks to the WYSL audience for giving us a platform. Thanks to my buddy, Sean Hannon. Before the break, we were talking about UFOs. And now we're going to kind of dive deep because Tucker and Joe shined a light on them. Kevin and I have talked about the whole Five Eyes Project, UAPs, UFOs on this show. We've done a couple of segments on them. It seems like they're making the news. I'm like, it's a freaking psyop to distract us from the war in Ukraine. But also, maybe it's not. Like, so what do you think?
I don't think UFOs are real.
No? Really?
Oh, I used to think they were real up until the government was like, yeah, there's UFOs. And I'm like,
exactly,
I don't believe it.
I don't
believe it. Yep. Now I just think that they're just basically high-tech. Like, I think there are phenomena, and it's interesting that they changed from flying objects to aerial phenomenon. I don't know if I should be reading into that too much. Because my tinfoil hat's too tight,
I can tell you why.
They're not flying, right?
So they find them under the ocean too,
right?
Like
right.
They're machines moving incredibly fast, like beyond the realm of possibility as we understand it.
Yeah, so I have always just mathematically believed that there had to be aliens because the universe was so big, there were so many galaxies and solar systems and planets, and like it was just infinite, and like this mathematically there just had to be some other life. And on top of that, to think that we were the very first life in the whole thing would mean that we were the most advanced, because if not, then somebody else could be a billion years more advanced than we are in theory, right? So
right,
I had always just assumed that okay, eventually yes, there's life here. And then under the idea that the universe was so big that there was just no way, how could they get there with our understanding of physics, right? So that was always kind of the rub.
Yeah.
No, right?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so now, when the government's like, yeah, they're here, and I'm like, wait a minute. Bad source, first of all, right?
Yeah, getting worst the government. Source ever. Yeah.
Right. So now you're like, okay, let me figure this out. Like, can I trust the government? No. So maybe the government is hiding from, you know, us from it, what they have, knowledge that they have, technology that they have. You know, maybe you've heard the adage of, you know, the government's 50 years ahead of us. Yeah, I bet they're like 300 years ahead of us. Like, I don't think it's 50 years. Like, in some of that technology, if you're 50 years ahead, hypothetically, like, it's going to extrapolate faster as you get out, because the technology is going to build on itself quicker and quicker and accelerate away. So even if maybe in the 50s, it was 50 years in advance, fast forward, whatever, 70 years later, I mean, it's, again, it's probably 300 to 500 years in advance of what we, you know, it's hard to put those in real terms and numbers and years, because obviously none of us live that long. But like, my point is that they're not telling us everything. This is a great cover, great distraction, and it can serve the purpose, again, as, you know, keeping us look at the shiny thing kind of, you know, sure, in the culture world.
Yeah, like you, I studied math. I understand mathematics and the infinite possibility of an infinite universe, that the probability that there is life on other planets is 100%, right? Like, if we're dealing with numbers that approach affinity, the odds of there being life elsewhere approaches 100%. So that's a very simple way of saying, yes, I also think there's life on other planets. I have a buddy that went with like a ranger in the military, and he said they have technology, right? They can shoot projectiles so fast with what's called a railgun, a magnetic like impetus that can make projectiles go so fast that they can't find a projectile that will stand up to the maximum speed that this railgun can generate to make it actually an effective weapon. So they have already demonstrated some of this technology, this advanced style technology. But so now all they had to do is find material that will withstand those speeds. Like, they have it in concept. They've used it. So I don't know. Like, what are they?
Well, have you heard anything of the Project Kona Blue?
Okay, that just came out today or something. I don't know. Like, tell me about it. Yes. What do you got? Yeah, what do you got?
Well, like I said, I'm not going to do a deep dive on the whole project, but in a sense, was Kona Blue was a plan for the government to reverse engineer extraterrestrial technologies. So this was a project where this was supposedly going on. So wherever they were reverse engineering this technology from, is, you know, or maybe remains to be seen. But the idea is that it's alien technology.
Right, right.
And it sounds, again, it's coming from the government. So like, it was leaked. Like, oh,
it was leaked. Yeah, look.
Conveniently.
And then now they're talking about donations from extraterrestrial life.
It's kind of like a sex tape. So they leak it so they can get popularity. And this is what they do here. And they're just like,
correct,
hey,
correct,
let's leak this video out so we can get all the donations.
Sure. And they're talking about how they have recovery teams for when they get a donation. They the Five Eyes team of, you know, Australia, New Zealand, United States, and Canada. And I think Great Britain, all in this together, where they have recovery teams that go pick up this technology that's been left. Arguably, it's a crashed vehicle. Arguably, who knows exactly what it is. It does feel kind of psyopish, but like Tucker,
which is a lot psyopish.
Yeah. Well, Tucker kind of went big into it.
He seems to try to, you know, bring in the spirituality of it. You know, he kept kind of bouncing between spiritual and supernatural as kind of like adjectives of what he was describing. I don't think he was kind of like, you know, trying to force those terms into the discussion. He was just trying to use them so that people would understand what they were talking about when he was referencing whatever he was referencing. So I don't think, but he was clearly trying to, you know, his belief, it seemed like, I think he genuinely believes this. I don't think he's just trying to, like, you know, shove some crazy theory down there. I think he actually believes that there are evil entities that have entered our dimension and have taken, whether or not it's, you know, physical control of beings on the planet, but at least psychological control of beings on the planet. And if we just want to draw a parallel, I'll just say, like, I think those people are just compromised by Jeffrey Epstein, if you want to kind of go wherever. Like, so like, whatever your definition of evil is, clearly it has infiltrated our government, our kind of like the tentacles that come from that and all of its workings. And we're not alone. Like it's a lot of major countries are not made, or they're made up of not good people. You could otherwise call them evil. It's easy how you could see, okay, they're evil.
No,
and I'm unreligious. Just, I don't know if we've ever had this discussion. You're like, I'm unreligious. Like I have been unreligious for a long time. I was the obnoxious atheist for probably a period of time in my life. This is not coming from any kind of like, I don't know. You know, I have my own views of whatever you want to call spiritual, supernatural, or the history of the world or whatever.
Right.
But this is not coming from a religious pretense anyway.
No, I think that there's been an ongoing or increasing discussion about the spiritual nature of what's going on in the world. And that I've found ways of boiling it down to like increasing in poverty. Certain narcissistic personalities are attracted to power. They enjoy, you know, sadism. They enjoy being in charge. They enjoy like on some level hurting other people, and they really enjoy forcing people to do their will. If that's evil, arguably, I'm also somewhat irreligious, but I do believe in spirituality. I do have some philosophical leanings towards a spiritual power. I do like discussions about whether evil exists, whether it's walking the face of the earth, what's going on. Alex Jones is big into it, and he's been right about a lot
of things. It's the Nephilim.
Yeah, the Nephilim are leaking their power into our society and causing this stuff. I don't know. Like, all right, so that's just...
No, but the clown show that we get to experience on a daily basis just continues to open the doors for possibilities. Like, okay, well, clearly it could be anything at this point. Like, you know, we are living in, you know, what I want to say, unprecedented times. It seems like if you can't laugh at it, like you would be pounding your head against the wall if you actually really... Like we're seriously trying to figure out how to solve problems. Like I feel so bad for Thomas Massey because he is on a daily basis, like just banging his head against the wall every time he walks and he just bangs his head. Like, oh, I could not do it. Like, there's no, like, I give him so much credit for putting up with whatever that, like, and he's excellent at it too. Like he almost relishes the idea that he's, you know, like, all right, well, here I go head first again, let's see what happens. And then boom, he just like always seems to come out on top too, which is always great because he's, you know, because he's sincere first of all, and
he
maybe
sincere, yeah.
And you know, one thing that you know, going back to the Tucker Rogan conversation that they were having, you know, they were trying to how do you boil down whatever, and you know, they kind of said, okay, well, how about we just boil it down to like, don't lie, right? Like,
right.
How about we start with just everybody not lie? You know, tell the truth when you can tell the truth. If it's inconvenient, lie. Okay, it's better than, you know, it's the inconvenient truth is not as good as the you know, the lie. Don't lie. So
Right. Give
us the truth no matter what kind of hurt or damage it's going to follow us. It's always better to move on from the truth than to try to live in a lie. So
arguably, people who are in power don't agree with that. Because telling the truth
for sure
could cost them their power. The part, Sean, and I want you to comment on this, the part that freaks me out the most is that there are not hundreds of millions of people like us, like our friends out in the audience, like our friends on WSL, who just say, all of this looks insane and these people are bad. Like that they're 50-60% of the population, Sean, picking a side in these crazy fights of made up stuff. Like, that's the part that I don't understand. That's where I lose track of it all.
They're immersed in it, so they can't see it, right? So, like, if they're on one of the sides, they can't see it. But if you step away, and like I said, I kind of ping-pong back and forth from side to side, so I kind of, you know, maybe thankfully got to some perspective that other people don't do when that doesn't happen. But I mentioned this before, like, I don't think most people really care what side they're on, or they care what side they're on only because it's not the other side, right? Like, but if you just kind of made a list of like, oh, these are all the left ideas and then these are all the right ideas, you'd be like, how is it that everybody on the left thinks this about this and this and this, and the right's always the exact opposite? Like, there's never any kind of like, oh, well, there's some kind of 50-50 here, and like, nope, it's always just all in or all out. The issues are unrelated. They're completely unrelated.
And they come up with analogies that we're supposed to understand that are they draw juxtapositions of things that are completely unrelated, and you're just like, well, that
listen, they look
doesn't
for
make any sense.
They look for things to divide us and then pass $100 billion to Ukraine and Israel war funding. That's the game. I mean, everybody sees it.
It's
I don't know what to do about it.
Brother.
Everybody
no,
sees
I know.
It.
Well, I think a basic understanding of economics, right? That destruction of wealth isn't actually good for a society, because that's what they're doing. They're using the broken windows fallacy on a massive scale, right? Where people are dying because they want to use the broken windows fallacy to grow economies and actually devalue our currency at the same time. Like, that's what they're doing. They're growing GDP and they're devaluing our currency. That's my conspiracy theory. But people will not accept that growing GDP is not necessarily a good thing, that destruction of wealth is almost never a good thing, and that they're running a scam on us, right? So while they're stealing from the treasury, while they're looting from the treasury, that's what's happening. Do you see what I mean? Like, people refuse to accept that because we're the ones that sound crazy.
Yeah, but
I don't know how. I don't know how that sounds crazy.
Listen, I mean, you're old enough to remember and the Fed chants at Ron Paul rallies, right? So there's an appetite for it. Like, if it's explained in a way and shown in a way that it makes it tangible to somebody in real life, and, you know, no better way than to watch inflation under the last two presidents, you know, created from basically, you know, infinite spending.
Spending.
It's like
Trump blew up the treasury before Biden blew up the treasury.
Yeah, no, I know for sure. Yeah, no, like I said, again, going back to Thomas Massey's the only one who he at least made him vote on it.
He did. He made him come in. He was a stickler for the rules, and that was good. And that's what he's doing right now, trying to use that system to fix that system, which is good luck with that. You know what I mean?
It's if Massey wasn't in the House right now, like. Steamrolled things. Things would have been things that the amount of bills that would it's hard to imagine the impact of not having Thomas Massey in the position that he's been in for the last 2 years.
And calling him out on Twitter. But we're coming up on another break. Thanks again to everyone out there watching the show. Thanks again to WSL. We will be right back.
Introducing a sobering and unavoidable truth. The latest advancements in artificial intelligence have made cyber attacks easier than ever before. Cyber criminals are relentlessly targeting your business right now, seeking the tiniest opening in your defenses to drain your accounts and steal sensitive data. Your finances and your customers' trust are on the line. Call the experts at Simple Tech Innovations now at 585-999-TECH to secure your business today. Don't wait until it's too late. Make the call today. 585-999-TECH.
To live the quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law? That in 2020, there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties? That there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted? These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
A free solution on the WYSL stations.
All right, welcome back to A Free Solution. I am the host, not the conspiracy theorist. It's me, Tim O'Connor, the Freedom Variant. Kevin's been a little bit under the weather. He's healing up nicely. He could still use kind thoughts, kind words, and prayers if you're so inclined. But he's going to be back next week. We've got an interview with Mike Terma on Monday at 7. He's a Libertarian candidate for president. But joining me tonight, Sean Hannan. Sean, we've been talking about Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson. You may have little bit more.
Yeah,
share with the folks.
I mean, we covered most of the stuff that I found interesting from the interview. I mean, obviously, it's two, you know, media Goliaths colliding, and so just to get them, just to have their takes going back and forth is just kind of entertaining in general. And the fact that they covered such a crazy array of topics was funny on top of that too.
They were,
like I said, we mentioned the UFOs, we mentioned Nixon, but you know, Tucker's just like, Mike Pompeo is a criminal and needs to be in jail. Like, I mean, he basically, yeah, you know,
he popped
just,
off about
literally just things, calling out people. Did you see the whole episode?
I listened to it in my car, and so sometimes,
so
certain
did you
things
get,
fade in and out. Like,
so
I don't
did
listen
you,
to some.
Did you recall the breakdown of the Alex Jones rant?
Okay, yeah, that's why I mentioned Alex Jones earlier.
I had never heard that rap before, but tell me it wasn't the most, like, off-the-cuff, coherent, like, there wasn't like, he literally just rattled off, like, five paragraphs in a row, and you could watch Rogan and Tucker just stare at each other, like, some of the comments and some of the moments of the speech, and you could tell that it wasn't, like, it didn't come across, listen, if it was scripted, he's excellent. Because it didn't come across that way. It came across of like, because they were kind of pushing him on something, and they were like, "All right, you want something?" He's like, "I'll give you something." And then he just kind of went in. It wrapped around AI, and this was like 7 years ago, I think, or something.
Correct.
And so it was clairvoyancy kind of a rant where, how the hell does Alex Jones know this kind of shit? Sorry, again here, but like, it seemed like he was, you could have read that off, you know, today, and you'd be like, that's exactly what's happening.
It was pretty wild. I actually want to go back and listen to it again. That Tucker was kind of giving Alex Jones some credit for being like channeling some wild information, because right, they made reference to the fact that he called 9/11. Like, he
right,
called,
he almost intimated that Alex Jones was a prophet.
He, I don't know if it almost is the right word. Like, he intimated that Alex Jones, right, is a prophet. Right. And, first of all, that's going to freak people out. But Alex Jones has nailed some things. And like you said, when they played that speech, all right, and I did hear it, and it did have an impact, it was kind of terrifying, right? Like, you know, evil leaking through from the fourth dimension to the third dimension up to the second dimension. Like, it was just, and it, like you said, if it wasn't scripted, if it was scripted, the dude's an absolute genius. And 100% incredible, right? Like, are you still there?
I'm here. I lost my camera. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. So I, you know, like you said, it was pretty wild. I do want to go back and listen to it.
It was at that moment in the episode, I was like, Alex Jones just won this episode, and he wasn't even on it, right? Like, it was it was so good though. And then literally the funniest thing was, you know, they had started the episode talking about UFOs and UAPs or whatever. And right, then like, and it's funny, you go, I think it's like at the 54 minute mark, I sent it to my co-host and started laughing. Cause you know, they were making small talk, whatever, talking about, you know, happiness of teens. And Tucker asks, he's like, do you think an Amish teen is happier than an American teen? And, you know, a little back and forth goes back, and then Joe Rogan drops the, you know, the Amish have a very low rate of autism. And then I was like, let the games begin here. Literally just went into like a little bit of a conversation about, you know, the whole safe and effective nature of vaccines. So they covered a lot of stuff, and I thought it was like, they should do it more. Like, there should just be the clash of ideas more.
Could you imagine those two combining on a podcast, like, say, once a month or something
And they both brought this up, and I think this is the biggest reason why they should have talked about all those crazy things, is because people should be allowed to talk about crazy things. Like, that should just be the default position. It's like, hey, let's talk this out. Let me look like an idiot. Tell me why I'm an idiot, right? Yeah. And so let people talk it out, because if you just censor them, you get what happened in COVID, and you get a bunch of bad information, or good information being suppressed and bad information being left to run wild. And I think that's what we experienced in 2020. So the idea behind all of those crazy topics on that show, I think, is the most important thing. The whole aspect of the show was that they were actually allowed to talk about those topics, right? Like, that was the thing. It was to talk about JFK, you know, whether or not the CIA is involved, you know, talking about Nixon, not as just a, you know, I'm not a crook. Like, it's, there's other conversations to be had that don't seem to be allowed in today's political discourse.
Yeah. So look, I'll be honest with you, right? There's a chilling effect.
We didn't even talk about evolution.
Right. Right. Knowing that,
which I don't believe in, by the way,
going to go out on the radio. That's going to go out on our YouTube channel, on Twitter, on Facebook. When we start talking about these things, a little piece of me gets, I'm not going to lie, right? Some of my conversation is shaped by the things that I'm afraid of, right? I'm afraid, I enjoy doing this. I'm afraid of being censored. I'm afraid of losing a platform. I'm afraid of whatever it is that might happen if we explore some of these more radical ideas that I think that we should be able to explore. The conversation about the Amish is a perfect one. Another one is George Santos. Are you familiar with George Santos?
Oh, yeah. I like George.
I was a big fan, man. I was advocating for him on the show. I can't believe he actually got kicked out. He was Kevin or Sean. Did you see that?
I don't take offense.
Good.
Kevin's a good man.
Kevin is a good man. Santos ends his congressional bid for New York's first district.
He was running as an independent, right?
Yeah, he was actually running again. He was going to go into the Republican primary, I think, and decided, I think today, yesterday, he decided to withdraw, even though he'd already been expelled from the House of Representatives. And look, I thought George Santos was a perfect example of a guy that was exactly what every politician was, but just got caught, right? Because he's like, hey, look, I'm a gay Republican, you know, like, so he got a bunch of votes and it was all virtue signal. It was all hilarious. And he kind of did some money scamming. So I guess that's where they.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he's like a credible person. Like, I wouldn't want him, like, you know, managing my business or anything.
No,
like, I'm not even.
What I think what he did, fine.
What he did was show that it's just a clown show. Like, he literally lied his way to Congress.
Yeah, it was
the best. It's one of the best things. It's one of the best stories ever.
It was absolutely beautiful, man. I was really, like, I just thought it was hilarious, you know, like.
Yeah, no, like I said, I think it just, it was like a way of looking like, oh, look, this whole thing is just literally just fake. Like, this guy lied his way to a nomination, to a congressional seat. It's the best.
Yeah. Hey, did you hear about Joe Biden's uncle, Bozy?
So, yes, I guess, like, I don't have a hot take on this. Like, I know he kind of fumbled something again with his words, but like, it's so easy to make fun of this old man that, but yeah.
You almost feel bad now at this point, right? Like, this guy's up there talking gibberish. He wants to have an effective story. So he says his uncle, who used to fly reconnaissance planes over New Guinea, was shot down and eaten by cannibals. Like, that's the basic statement he made. It's completely false. It's totally nonsense. His uncle was a passenger, like a cartographer, map guy. He got shot down over the ocean. They didn't find his body, but it was not because of cannibals. Like, where in the world does this guy come from?
As somebody who's played a lot of fantasy football in his days and used the team name of Hannon's Cannibals, I feel I should be offended by and felt a little bit hurt by this appropriation of cannibals and talking down on cannibals.
Yeah, well, cultural appropriation is something that falls under the guise of identity politics. And so, look, I've said it before on the show, identity politics is absolute brain cancer, bro. It is destroying this thing. It goes back to our earlier conversation of things that people fall for to keep us divided and make them invest in narratives that if they thought for one second, they would probably reject. Good news. Australia is banning the export of sheep. Have you heard about this?
No, it sounds like fake news.
Okay, well, it's actually, I hate to say it, right? But it's real news, okay? Now, Australia, a major sheep exporter in the country. Like, sheep are very successful. They thrive in Australia. It's a major agricultural crop. In the name of climate change, Australia has banned exporting sheep.
Seems like a smart move.
Does it, though? I mean, people, you know, people seem to like sheep. They eat them. They use them for wool. There's lots of, like, so now, I don't know.
So you're saying they're just hoarding the sheep in Australia?
Yeah, but basically they're destroying, what they're doing is destroying a farmer's revenue stream, okay? Yeah. That farmers in Australia are making a lot of money off of exporting sheep, and they're destroying that revenue stream. Millions of,
I mean, I don't know if you noticed this, Mr. O'Connor, but there seems to be a rash of governments trying to destroy economies around the world.
I mean,
if the sheep are the way to destroy the economy, then let it be the sheep. If it's eggs, let it be eggs.
Let's just let them keep going in the way that they're going.
I like how Tucker always throws in the food processing plants into his discussions.
He was wild.
He's the best. Like, I thought I was really good at just being able to throw a little snide remarks in at the end of sentences to kind of like just throw a little dig in it. He is the master.
He
is self-admitted. He says he's an ass a-hole. And yeah.
He's proud of it.
It's definitely a personality flaw for me. I definitely can be an a-hole. And so I understand I come from, but like, I actually envy his ability to do it better than me though too.
Yeah.
Because I used to like call myself charmingly condescending, but like, yeah, he's the master.
Look, I see flaws in what other people are saying. And like, if we're having a couple drinks, I lambaste people, you know, like, and I make them laugh about it and I make myself laugh about it. And then when they get me, I just enjoy it, man. Like, that's, I know what Tucker was talking about there. That is a facet of my diamond-like personality. I'm sure it's a facet of your look, you're attracted to many similar things. You and I have similar interests, like the fact that you're a bartender, that I was a bartender. We've participated in the same things. And guys, luckily we're coming up on the end of the show. I've got one more subject to talk about. But first, let's do a shout out to Kevin Lockhart, who is out WYSL's way. He's 1 week into the petition season, and he's gathered 250 signatures to be nominated as an independent county clerk. Congratulations, Kevin. Good job with that. Keep up the good work. Let's see. Our friend Patricia out there in YouTube world, clowns to the left, jokers to the right, and here we are stuck in the middle wondering exactly what's going on. I did have one more conversation that I wanted to have with Sean before the end of the show, because there's like a back and forth going on between Iran and Israel, where Israel in Damascus attacked an embassy of Iran's and killed some generals. Iran had to answer and launched a bunch of like drones and stuff like that. Not a very meaningful attack, but something happened there. And I was going to try to get Sean's opinion on that. But now, one more area of concern, Hezbollah has stepped up its game and is now also launching drones into Israel. And I think it's something that we as libertarians got to keep an eye on, because that's one of the problems that we see with what's going on in the Middle East and all of the things that we get concerned about. But on that note, guys, to the WYSL audience, it's Tim O'Connor, the Freedom Variant. I was joined for an entire hour with Sean Hannon, the former vice chair of the Onondaga Libertarian Party. And again, guys, let's keep Kevin in our thoughts and prayers. He's recovering nicely. By all means, a few kind words could go a long way. And one last thing, next Monday at 7 o'clock, live on the interwebs, and will eventually be broadcast on WSL as a segment of the show, we're going to be interviewing LP presidential candidate Mike Termont. Mike is a former police officer. Mike is a dedicated libertarian. I think that occasionally libertarians kind of, and police officers, need to find some common ground, and I think Mike's a great guy for that. Guys, WSL audience, I want to thank you all for being here. We'll catch you again next week.